This episode of The Girlfriend Bracket is brought to you by Gathering Magic and CoolStuffInc.com. With free shipping on orders of $100 or more, a 25% buy list bonus, and their ever-popular customer rewards program, CoolStuffInc is the store for all of your Magic the Gathering needs. Hey everybody, this is episode number 59 of The Girlfriend Bracket. My name is Erin.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
Ladies, is it conceited to say that I've missed us?
No, I don't think it is. I think that's appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Because I have to say, you know, I know that the break was sort of our idea, and I certainly know that our listeners missed us, but it feels really good to be back with you all because there's been so much that's happened over the past month. And, you know, Chris, I know that you and I live close to each other, and we've certainly gone to events during the break, and I see you pretty regularly. And, you know, we've been working together during CSL, but there's just something different, you know, about coming together each week and getting your opinions as it's happening. And I would see a news story and think, God, I wonder what Hallie thinks about this. Or I would see a story and think, I bet Katie's rolling her eyes to this right now. And, you know, there were just things happening and I couldn't get your take on them. And I'm just really glad that we're back.
Yes. It's good to be back, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel much better. And we're going to talk about, you know, some of the reasons for taking a break a little later, but we're going to go ahead and get started like we usually do with our Woman of Excellence. So we received an email, a nomination for a young lady who goes by the name of Cake Taro. And the person who nominated her says, just a quick shout out to one of my favorite streamers and badass woman in magic, Cake Taro. She's an extremely talented alterer, skilled player, and has created the nicest chat community I've ever experienced. She's always willing to share her thoughts and techniques and has a great sense of humor. Watching her slay on CSGO is also a delight. I don't know what CSGO is. Do you guys?
Okay.
Nope. I was thinking maybe... Well, we'll have to look that up, because if she's playing it, then I need to know what that is. And if you're interested in following Cake Taro, you can find her on Twitter at Cake Taro, CakeTarotv, or you can find her on Twitch at twitch.tv/CakeTaro. We've also had some new Patreon subscribers since we've been on break. Big shout out to Amanda H., Bob W., Bob S., and Jennifer L. Thank you so much for supporting our show. And we're going to go ahead and get started. So we did take a month off, and I want to talk about, we talked a little bit about self-care on the show, and, you know, I really feel like it was almost like fate was telling us to take a break. Like, we each had things going on in our personal lives that were, you know, kind of leading us in this direction, and I thought it might be a good idea to talk about what was going on. Not necessarily bad things, but just things that took priority, and I thought it might be a good idea to share that with our listeners. So, Katie, why don't you kick us off, because you were in Europe.
Yes, I did a whirlwind tour.
With that gorgeous man of yours.
Yes, he is very handsome.
So tell us what you did.
So we flew to New York. We spent a few days there. I'd never been to New York City before. And we were in Times Square, and there was lots of shopping and lots of strange people to watch. It was really fantastic. I love people watching, and, you know, we only have cowboys in Montana, so... and then we flew to Dublin, Ireland overnight. We rented a car in Dublin and we drove around basically the entire southern coast of Ireland. And then we cut back across the middle, so we could catch a flight to Paris. And from Paris, we stayed there for 3 or 4 days and then we drove down to Italy. And then we went a few places in Italy and we went back through Switzerland, back to Paris, and then back to Dublin, back to New York, back to Montana.
Wow. So I want to go back and talk about that. So you know, I've never been to Europe, so I don't really quite understand how it scales compared to the United States, but you literally drove to all these different countries. Like, you didn't take a train or fly.
No, the train we looked into was actually fairly expensive, and we wanted to be able to go places every time we were in a city without having to take Uber or taxis. So I think on our way down to Italy, so Paris, we went to Geneva, Switzerland on our way to Italy, and I think that was a 5 or 6 hour drive. The longest drive we did was that drive.
Okay.
And then we went down to Italy, and Italy, all of the towns we went to were 2 or 3 hours apart, but not bad. And then going back, we kind of took the same route. So, yeah, it's not very big. Not as big as you'd think.
Yeah, because the way you made it sound, like, I had no idea that you could just drive from, like, France to Italy or France to Germany. Like, I just assumed that there was more distance there.
Yeah, I think if you put the state of Montana over Europe, it covers, like, 3 or 4 countries. Like,
so yeah, you've been practicing for this trip for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Were there any specific sites that you saw that really impressed you?
Well, we did the whole... I took one of our listeners, Raoul Morny, he made the suggestion that I go see the catacombs in Paris, and that was very spooky and very awesome, and I was glad we went to that. There's just, like, millions of dead bodies down in this... They're all bones, obviously, but all of the walls and stuff are, like, made out of these bones. It was very neat and very sweet. Creepy at the same time.
Ooh, so they're just, like, protruding from the walls? Like, the walls are stuffed with these bones?
Yeah, it's like they kind of formed the walls out of the bones. So it's just rows and rows of bones that build up into a wall, kind of.
Wow.
I have some pictures. I'll have to show them to you guys. But
yeah,
it was, that was cool. And then we went to the National Stud Farm in Ireland, which is like a horse breeding farm where they breed thoroughbreds, and all of their horses are worth like millions of dollars. And then you get to see them, they were in foaling season, so all of them had babies with them, and it was really cute, and that was fun.
I bet the veterinarian and you had a good time with that.
Oh yeah, they said they had like you could do a 6-month long course there as a vet student. And I'm not really interested in horses, but I'll have to tell the kids in my class because I'm sure some of them would like to do it.
Oh, man. We got to be careful or we're going to lose you to Europe and cute horses. Like, see you guys. I'm going to go study horses. Bye.
You might. There are certain things I really missed about America, though. Like, we could not find Mexican food anywhere. I was, like, craving salsa. All I wanted was, like, some chips and salsa, and it was nowhere to be found.
Oh, man.
I also missed ice cubes. They don't really have ice there.
Huh.
Like, the bars sometimes do, but hotels and stuff, no ice machines. When you get, like, a Coke, there's no ice with it. They just bring you a glass. I just missed, like, really cold drinks.
Oh, God, I would die. Because you can ask Chris. Like, anytime we go somewhere, I'm like the little girl from Signs, where, like, if I buy a soda and it gets warm, I'm either getting ice or I'm buying a new soda. Because I just don't do warm soda. So if you tell me that, I would have a terrible time.
It's true.
Yeah, there was, like, I was like, you guys have ice cubes? And they were like, what? Ice? Is there ice anywhere?
And then, you're having to, like, make your own.
Yeah. And then a lot of the public bathrooms, like in gas stations or in restaurants, didn't have toilet seats. Like, it was just, like, the rim of the toilet with no seat.
Hell no. Hmm.
Speaking of that, I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter or not, but do you remember a while back when we first started the show and we talked about the horrible bathrooms, and there was a listener who sent us that one and he wouldn't even name the store because it was so bad. It didn't even have the toilet seat. It didn't have the toilet paper. And it said like a note where if you have to crap, do it elsewhere. That same listener ended up sending a picture to Helene Bergia 1 year later and the store is exactly the same.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and he tagged us in the tweet. Like, somebody else tagged Helene and said, hey, there's this really screwed up bathroom. And then that listener tagged our tweet and was like, yeah, it was like that 1 year ago. And then when you looked at the two pictures, nothing had changed.
Wow.
So that bathroom stayed shitty the whole year. Like,
man.
And Helene was just like, how is this? This is horrible. And it's like, yeah, we talked about it a year ago. And it's impressive in a very frightening way. So how did it feel, Katie, to just have, I mean, you were gone a month, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so how good did it feel to just have, you know, pretty much no responsibilities, to just be able to do what you wanted to do and, you know, get up when you want to get up and just that freedom? Like, what was that like?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was kind of a busy vacation. I mean, we did go to a lot of places, but taking time away from kind of reality was really, really refreshing. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm also on the second vacation. I'm over on the East Coast doing a beach trip. with my boyfriend and his family. And so now we're doing, like, an actual relaxing vacation where you just kind of, like, lay around in the sun all day. And it's just been so nice, especially with school and, you know, with the podcast and CSL. We've had a busy couple months from, like, January to May. We were just kind of going. So it's been really, really nice to just take some time for myself.
Yeah, I have to say my favorite moment from your trip, because you posted a lot of pictures, and so I was keeping up with your trip, and I was liking all the pictures that I could. And I have to say my favorite picture was the one where you were by the pool, and you had on, like, it kind of reminded me of, like, a vintage Barbie. Like, have you ever seen, like, the old school Barbie in, like, the black swimsuit?
Yeah.
And you were just by the pool, and you were like, sup. And, like, the sun was just reflecting on you in, like, the best way, and you looked so happy. And I was like, you better work, Katie. Like, you are living your best life right now.
Thank you. Yes, it definitely felt that way. I was like, drink in hand. It's like the perfect temperature. I got my floopy hat on. Life was good. Yeah.
I definitely enjoyed living vicariously through you. And I was just happy to see you happy. Like, it was just something, you know, when you're going through pictures, it's like, you know, I knew that you needed a break. And I know that you work hard. I know that you're doing school and the show and the job. And I was just so happy that you got to have that time.
Yeah, me too. It was good. But it was great to be home too. I enjoyed my time there, but coming home, I took, like, an hour and a half long shower, I think, and I just stood there, and I did laundry, and those were, like, the two best things.
So, Chris, why don't you tell people, you know, you and I were actually hanging out the day that we kind of decided that we wanted to take a break, or that the idea, you know, kind of, you know, as you like to say, in our brain meats, the idea got lodged in our brain meats to kind of take a break. And so what was going through your mind, or what made you decide that you wouldn't mind a month off?
I really wanted to be able to spend some more time with my boyfriend, because between going to magic events and starting CSL and doing the podcast, there just wasn't a lot of time for us to really do a lot together. So even if it wasn't the most extravagant of things that we were doing together during our time off, it was just nice to be like, I don't have to worry about anything else tonight. I can go to work. I can come home. We can spend some time together. Or maybe we ended up having the same day off and we were able to, you know, bang some more stuff out than normal, even if it was just watching bad television or something. And that was something that was definitely needed. He doesn't typically go to magic events. It's kind of my time to do my thing. And so when I'm gone all the time, he's like, what do? So it was nice to spend more time with him. And it was also nice to, I guess, just go to events and have it feel a little more freeing, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have to worry about, like, talking about it on the show, or I didn't have to worry about necessarily how I performed. I was just like, I'm just going to go, and this is going to be fun. And there ended up being a lot of magic stuff that I could do while we were gone on our break. And it was nice to be able to do all those things, try to spend more time with friends, not have to worry about working 10 hours and then recording. Like, that was really cool. So, yeah, it was just, I don't know, when we fired everything up tonight, even it was just, like, surreal to be like, oh, yeah, I do this. This is a thing. And, like, it just, like, I don't know, just felt like it had been, like, a million years. But I'm glad that we're back and we can do the show again. I know people really missed it. We were told many times during the break, like, when are you guys coming back? And people got trolled by me posting other people's podcasts. And they're like, I thought it was going to be you guys. Like, JK, not yet. So, yeah, I think mission accomplished. I think, you know, it's good to have some downtime every once in a while to either reprioritize different things in your life or just take a breather, or, you know, just realize that you're just kind of feeling burnt out. And I definitely was starting to feel that feeling. And it's one of those things where I think I came home from F&M and I was just, like, really stressed out about building a deck. And I was just, like, getting hysterical. I'm like, why won't this just work? And everything is awful. And I was like, why am I crying? This is so dumb. So that's when I knew. I was like, okay, I'm a little beyond stressed. So a good time was had by all. I think we all had things that ended up really awesome during the break, but glad to be back and give our listeners more of what they enjoy.
You discovered Scapeshift while you were on break.
Yes.
Yes, and you've been killing it.
I've definitely been trying. I had the people at my LGS not last week, but the week before. It was like the last round, and they're like, "Chris, what's going on? Where's Tron? What? No blue?" Everyone was just like baffled, and I'm like, "Mm-hmm." I'm like, "I'm just trying something new. It's okay. I just want to hurt people with lands. Is that okay?" So yeah, and it's been cool. It's a pretty sick deck. I like that it's fast and has a couple different win conditions. But yes, having your Valakuts crumble to dusted is less than ideal. But I figure if I can make it with Tron, I can make it with Scapeshift. It'll just be a little bit of a more difficult road. But that's what I'm going to kind of be working on, at least for Modern right now, and play that. And I haven't completely forgotten about my favorite blue cards or about Tron. I just want to kind of broaden my horizons a little bit and see what else there is to do in Modern.
I have two or three playmats for you from Columbus, just so you know.
Yes.
Yeah. I knew what it felt like to be you for a second, because when I was packing this morning, I was like, where the hell am I going to find room for all these playmats? I was like, how does Chris do it? And, like, you know, I had, like, one plastic bag with, like, a hole in it and two playmats in there, and then I had one in a Legion cardboard tube. They give you these free tubes when you're at GPs, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. And, like, I just felt like I was carrying an extra 10 pounds just in playmats, and I was like, this is... So what is that? What would that put you at? You're at 90... It'll put you at 90... You're at 91 now, right?
I was at 91 in-house, so that'll be... So you have three for me?
I have three. I have the Geist one from the GP, and then I have a Declaration in Stone one, and this weird Hellsteed looking one.
Oh yeah, the RK Post one. The man yeah. is so fucking sick.
Like, I so you'll be at 94.
Yep.
Look at God.
What are you going to do when you get to 100? Like, you have to have, like, a block party or something.
Well, actually, I was hoping to, once I got to 100, and not that this is necessarily incentive to increase my playmats in any way, shape, or form. However, when I get to 100, my goal was to make a YouTube video where I would show off my collection and talk about my favorite mats and have everyone kind of see what they're all about. They're currently on the floor next to my desk right now, all in a big pile. Very nice, though. So, yeah, but it's weird because I was going through them the other day and I was like, holy shit, I forgot I had this one. It was pretty bad. But, yeah, I'm ready to get to 100. It's been a good time. I know some people have been wanting to unload some of them. So if you still want to, you know, please hit me up. Perhaps you have something that I may want. I'm not going to turn down a good home to a playmat in need.
Yeah. You run a home for wayward playmats. Like, people, like, remember in the movies when they leave the orphan on the church steps? Like, they'll just find, like, a basket and, like, a playmat swaddled with blankets, like, and a little no. Like, please give my little GP Tupelo mat a good home, and then Chris will just pick it up. And
I totally would.
Unswaddle it and everything. So, Hallie, what was going on in your universe when we pitched the idea to you that Saturday? And we were like, you know what? We think we need a break. Like, Katie's on vacation, and Chris would like to spend some time with her guy. And, you know, I certainly had my reasons, which I'll touch on. But what made you, you know, kind of go along with this? What was going through your mind?
Well, I felt like I had a lot on my plate at the time also, between the podcast and the CSL. And I also had the upcoming coverage gig at GPLA that I needed to prepare for. I didn't know a whole lot about Modern going into it, and so I spent about a month going into it just constantly grinding Modern games on Magic Online. And I just felt like I was, you know, I was expending a lot of energy on that, and, like, I kind of needed a break, too. Like, I had a lot on my plate and just needed a little bit of a break from something in my life, and I wasn't sure what. So when you pitched the idea, I was actually fine with it, and I thought, you know, this would give me even more time to focus on preparing for coverage. And coverage ended up going really well. I really enjoyed working on the coverage team and, you know, got to meet a lot of cool people, got to interview a lot of great players. And I just loved the experience and can't wait to go back and do it again. shortly after you ended up pitching the idea to me and we announced that we were going on vacation, I did have to deal with a bit of personal tragedy in my life. A good friend of mine, who was a member of my local Lady Planeswalker Society chapter, got into a fatal bike accident. And, you know, after the fact, I was very glad that I had that time to, you know, spend extra time with my community. And, you know, we had a number of, you know, memorial events where we all, you know, came together and remembered her. And I was glad that I, you know, that I had that extra time to do that and be part of that and to, you know, give my community members someone to lean on. So that was really important to me. And I'm very glad in retrospect that we did take that break and that I had that extra time to deal with that.
I have to say, Hallie, when I was watching the GPLA coverage, I think you were in the background. Like, I was watching the very, very last match between Simon and the 12-year-old or the 13-year-old.
Yeah, Ethan, yeah.
And you were typing away in the background, and I was looking at you. Like, everybody was so focused on, like, the hands and Simon, and I was like, oh, there's Hallie, she's working so hard. You work, Hallie, you write, Hallie, just write your little heart out. And I was just so focused on you, and you just looked so great, and you had, like, your little gray wizard. Was it a cardigan or a shirt?
Yeah, they sent me 2 cardigans. It was pretty sweet.
But it was just I was just so happy for you. And like, I just couldn't take my eyes off of you because you were just so diligently working. And I knew how badly you wanted that. And, you know, kind of like I said about Katie, it's like, you know, you like seeing your friends happy and you were just sort of in your element. And I was like, God, this is just like, that's really great. But I'm just going to watch my friend be awesome. And so I was really happy to see you there. And, you know, I got a lot of compliments on you, you know, because when Chris and I, we went to a couple of events in the meantime. And when people were telling us not only that they missed the show, but they started telling us why they missed the show and what they love about the show. And, you know, there were several occasions where people said specifically, like, oh, we miss Hallie's opinion on Standard and we wish we knew what she was thinking with these decks and things like that. And so I know for a fact that people in particular missed you quite a bit.
Hmm.
Yeah. So my reason for taking a break was really inspired by Morgan Wentworth. She's the one that kind of kicked this whole thing off. We were coming back from a PPTQ that we went to, Chris and I, and Morgan released this vlog about magic life balance. And that's something I've not been very good at. And I've been very open about that fact that I've very much had to change the way that I play the game. Particularly when I'm traveling, because I just don't have the spoons to go around like I used to. When I have to devote energy to being visible and being friendly to listeners and peers and, you know, devoting energy to being competitive when I decide that I want to do well at an event. And so I've very much had to change my habits in the last year or so. And the thing that kind of led me to wanting to take a break was that GP Minneapolis was coming up, and I really wanted to give Standard a good try to find a deck that I liked. And, you know, I was spending so much time talking about Magic that I just didn't think I would have any time to actually play. You know, I had talked about being interested in Standard again, but I didn't know anything about Standard, so I had to find a deck and then grind that deck. And with my current schedule of doing this show, doing my side project of Magic Mics, doing the Community Super League, I was just not going to have any time to play, and that really kind of bummed me out a little bit. And I was like, well, here's an event that I really want to do well at, and I will not have any time to find a deck and get good at it. And so, you know, when Chris and I were just sort of kikiing like we normally do, and she was like, yeah, I'm just not really seeing Nick very much. And I was like, yeah, I'm just not really playing very much. And I was like, wait a minute. And like, I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I was like, Katie's in Europe and you could spend more time with your guy and I could spend more time playing. And we were like, maybe this is just a sign. Like, maybe we're meant to take a break. And then we called you, Hallie, at like the ice cream shop. We're like, hey, Hallie, you fine with this? And you were fine with it. But for me, it just came down to wanting to actually play the game, because I spend so much time talking about it that I don't actually get to do it. And I just felt very, I was very sad that that was the case. And so I spent a lot of time getting ready for GP Minneapolis. And the irony was that I didn't even find a Standard deck that I liked. And so I ended up just playing side events at the GP. But Minneapolis was really lovely. And I just got a chance to, you know, focus on Magic Mics a little bit more, focus on CSL like we wanted to. Just being able to go to bed at a reasonable hour felt really good. You know, like Chris said, not having to rush home to do something where it's like, you know, if I want to run errands, I don't have that deadline or that clock over my head. If you record at 9, you need to be home at 9. You're editing at 6. You've got to be home by 6. There was just sort of that room there to just kind of live. And that felt really good as well. And I was able to use that time to figure out how I want to devote my spoons and devote my energy going forward in events. And it was just good all around. And I'm really, I can hear it in our voices as well, that this was a good month for us. And I'm really glad that we did that.
Yeah, I saw a couple people. Like, I read an article about taking a break from the grind, and I think our friend Eric C. has posted about having a little bit of burnout. So I hope that people just remember that, like, taking a break is a very reasonable, logical thing to do, and sometimes you just have to force yourself to do it, because we're not used to dropping the thing we love or stepping away from something that we always do and becomes part of our routine. So I hope that, you know, if you're feeling burnt out, you can just step away for a little bit and come back and remember why you love the game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I talked about this because I actually made a vlog of my own when Morgan released hers. And, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize how much work goes into a podcast. And our show, you know, not to toot our own horns or anything, but we kind of took off. You know, we've been on a rocket ride since the show came out a year ago, where it's been, you know, we started off just kind of doing this thing. We didn't maybe have a lot of expectations for it. And then before we know it, it's, you know, this many followers and we're going to events. And then we've had job opportunities, like Hallie, you got coverage, and we've been invited to be on other shows, and we've been invited to go to parties, and we go to GPs. And now there was the Streamer Showdown thing happening, and then the Patreon launched, and that was a little successful. And there were suddenly responsibilities from that. And then there was the Community Super League, which was a huge opportunity. And so, you know, plus we also have personal lives. Many of us have relationships, full-time jobs. And, you know, I think a lot of people assume that we all we do is the show. And we have a lot on our plates. You know, we're busy girls. And so to kind of come forward and say, you know, this is a lot of work. And while we're happy for all of these things and we don't want them to go away, you know, sometimes you do need to reprioritize and just get centered again, because I don't think any of us expected to be here. Like, like, we have t-shirts that we're ordering very soon with our faces on them, and stickers that we give to people with our faces on them. And, you know, we do get money to do what we do now, and we do get recognized. And it's just been, I don't think there's nothing that can prepare you for this. And so I think, you know, having that month off to just be like, okay, this is my normal, this is my life now. And just sort of, you know, just, you know, getting everything situated was really necessary. So in the past couple of weeks, we've been doing CSL, which is Community Super League. For those who don't know, you can watch us every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central Time at twitch.tv/magic. And I thought it might be fun to kind of just talk about what it's been like so far, because we've been doing it for a while, and we've kind of had our ups and downs a little bit, and we tried all sorts of zany formats. Like, we did Innistrad Block Standard. We did that with Shadows Over Innistrad. We did No Ban List Modern. We did a tribal format, Tribal Wars. And I just thought it'd be fun to kind of take people behind the camera and let folks know what it's been like. So, Hallie and Chris, you know, Katie, you're joining us this week again, which we're excited about. What's it been like for you two to be part of this?
It's been kind of weird, kind of awesome, and kind of scary all at the same time. I'm just feeling all the feelings. I was really nervous about having to do commentary about stuff. I only did it once thus far. We'll see what happens. But I don't know. I'm not used to public speaking quite as much as I used to be in the past, and especially about maybe things that, like, formats we don't really know very well, or cards we can't really see. It's like, that looks like a wonky cue. Like, I don't know what that says. You're trying to figure it out. So there is, you know, that, and puts a little pressure. But, you know, ultimately, Randy and Athena want us to have fun. They want us to build fun decks. You know, if it's more cutthroat, they let us know that they want it to be that way. And I think that over the whole CSL experience so far, directions have gotten a lot clearer than maybe they were at the beginning. We were like, well, what are we doing and how are we doing it? And now it just kind of feels like second nature for the most part. It's just been a little weird now, because, like, I'll go places and people are like, do I know you from somewhere? And I'm like, maybe. And they're just like, you do CSL. And I'm like, yeah, I do that thing too. And they're just like, oh, sweet. And, you know, it's just kind of bizarre to think that people have seen you on Twitch, and maybe they didn't listen to the show, and now they do because of CSL. And it's just kind of like, wow, this is kind of bizarre. Or even to have people at my LGS be like, oh, well, we watched you play such and such deck, and that was crazy. We can't believe you guys got crushed. Or I can't believe this happened. Or, you know, just to hear people talk about, especially people that I see every week, it's like, cool. Like, I'm glad you're watching it, and that's pretty baller. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of a little different. I'm happy that we've had quite a large amount of viewers that have tuned in and getting to be exposed to all these different content creators that maybe people didn't know about before, or maybe some of them are their favorites. Like, Loading Ready Run and Kenji for sure have, like, a massive, like, rabid following, and they're all about them, and I think that's super awesome. And, yeah, it's just been a roller coaster of emotions, but I think overall it has been a life-changing experience, and I really hope that more positive things come out of doing Community Super League.
Yeah, it's been really fun for me, too, just because, you know, I've been a fan of a lot of these content creators for a long time, and it's been really cool to actually, you know, do commentary with them or play against them and actually get to, you know, spend more time with them and get to know them as people. Like, that's been the coolest thing for me. I also really enjoyed spoiling a card from Eternal Masters. That was a lot of fun. When we did Momir, when we played against Gabby, we got to spoil Brago from Eternal Masters, and I was really happy about that because he's one of my favorite cube cards. And, you know, how often do you get to spoil one of your favorite Magic cards?
It still haunts me. The night that you everything you did with Brago that night still haunts me. I just want you to know that.
I mean, he's a Ghost King. That's what he does. But yeah, it's been fun. It's also been very challenging for me just because I'm a very competitive player, and I'm a bit of a net decker, so playing all these wacky formats and building decks, and definitely playing against an opponent whose deck you don't know, has been a very odd experience for me. Like, I'm used to going into a tournament and within the first two turns having a pretty good idea of what my opponent is doing and what cards to play around. So this has definitely, you know, thrown me for a loop in a couple situations, but I think I'll probably end up, you know, learning some valuable things from it and, you know, maybe improving my game from it too.
Yeah, it's been crazy. Like, I think the best way to just sum it up is just the scope of it. I think no modern ban list had the most views. I think there were almost 4,000 that came in to watch. That was 4,000 people live watching all of us play, you know, and by all of us, the entire league. You know, the YouTube views, 25,000 views, 30,000 views per video. That's how many pairs of eyes that are looking at us. Like, holy shit. And, you know, just the, you know, like Chris said, it was like, you know, you get recognized. And, you know, for me, I don't really need any more visibility. So, if anything, it's been a little daunting. Just the fact, like, I remember we went to SCG Indianapolis. Was it, Chris? Is that where we went to?
Yeah. We went.
Okay. And I mean, I was getting recognized back to back to back to back. Like, I was talking to somebody, like, somebody would recognize me, and then I would finish that interaction and turn around, and then I would hear, Miss Campbell. And it's like, oh, okay. And I'd turn around, address that person, have a lovely conversation, turn around, and there's someone waiting for me. And it was just like, oh, okay. And I'm just trying to cross the room, or I'm just trying to, you know, go find my pairings or whatever. And so, that's been a little daunting, is just the increased visibility, because I just, I really don't need any more. I hope that doesn't sound conceited or anything, but it's just something you don't think about. It's just something you don't normally budget your energy for. And now it's something that I kind of have to do because I've just been recognized a lot more since the CLCL started. You know, I definitely echo, you know, Hallie's sentiment that it's been a little challenging. You know, when we first started the thing, it was very difficult to, it was hard to gauge like what we were supposed to be, where it was like, you know, we were sold that this was going to be a casual, kind of fun, goofy event. And so, you know, there were times where we thought it was competitive and we would show up with a really spiky list and find out that everybody was casual. And it kind of reminded me of, and go with me on this, remember, did you guys ever see Legally Blonde?
Yes.
Okay. You know when Elle shows up to the party dressed up like the Playboy Bunny? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We were Elle Woods for the first couple weeks. Like, we were showing up with the competitive deck and everybody's casual. And then we were like, okay, fuck it. We'll be casual then. And then we lose to a turn two World Gorger Dragon. You know, for the first couple of weeks, there was just this feeling of like, we don't know what they want from us, where it was like, you know, we were being competitive and that was wrong. And then we were goofy and that was wrong too. We were like, what do you want from me? And just now I feel like we have better direction of, okay, it's this, like when No Modern Ban List happened, Randy was like, do broken shit. And we were like, okay. And so, you know, I feel like the direction has got a little better. And I also feel like we've gotten a lot better at judging how we're supposed to be and going, okay, this is something chat's not really going to like. Maybe we shouldn't do this. Or going, okay, maybe this isn't really good with the spirit of the theme. We shouldn't do this either. And so I think it's just gotten a lot tighter on all fronts. If we know what to bring to the table better, and we're better judges of that, and they've gotten a lot better at telling us what to do as well. But it's been, like Chris said, it's just been a massive, it's been a good thing overall. Like, you know, and kind of when we were going through that, when we were going through those issues of not knowing whether to be serious or competitive, you know, I definitely had a moment where I was just like, fuck it, I'm just here to ham it up. Like, you know, this is a fun thing. I'm just here to make Twitch happy. If they want to be entertained, I'm going to give you a show. And, you know, even if we're not necessarily winning the most games or if we're not getting the most Brewmaster points, as long as somebody's entertained, then I feel like we've done our job. And to just say that we're able to work with these people, to say that I'm able to do coverage with Marshall Sutcliffe, even if it is just Community Super League, how great is that? And so I'm just having such a ball playing with these people and having these opportunities. And it's just not even about, I'm just here to have fun, man. And I think we're having a really good time.
Well, now that I hear how many views we've been getting, I'm not nervous about commentating for Canadian Highlander at all. I didn't even know existed until like 2 days ago. So this will be good.
They're going to love you. And, you know, one thing they've stressed to all of us, you know, we've talked about, you know, Chris mentioned being nervous about coverage. You know, one thing they've told us is they're not looking for pro tour commentary. Like, they really just want you to be excited about the things that you're seeing, you know, be excited about the format, you know, pick a side, pick a player who's, you know, match you're commentating that you're rooting for, and just really get behind them and talk about why you think they're going to win. You know, I remember the few games, I think there was one game that Randy and Aaron did, and I think they were both a little too serious, and I think chat kind of read them for that a little bit. So it seems to be that that chat wants to see just fun, you know, laid back, two people having a conversation, and it just happens to be about the game that's being played. They're not looking for, like, you know, the best line of play or what's going to get ripped off the top. They're not really here for that. They're just there to have a good time. And I think you can show people a good time, Katie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can have a good time.
Just wear your big floppy hat and lay out on the beach and be like, sup guys.
I'll just floop it up.
Right. Just have a mimosa in your hand and be like, I'm here to do coverage. What's up? We actually received some listener questions while we were away, which is nice because we hadn't had one in forever. So I'm going to go ahead and read a question that we received. You can go ahead and send us your questions at thegirlfriendbracket@gmail.com. We're happy to give you guys advice about anything, even if it's not necessarily magic related. And this email is from a young lady named Nicola. And Nicola says, I am a mostly casual player and enjoy the game partly for the human component, often discussing the game with my opponents and sharing banter as the game unfolds. Some opponents join in and some don't, but two events have led me to re-examine my style of social play. The first was a game with an opponent who seemed to quite enjoy the discussion and banter, but afterwards commented that some people might object due to it slowing down the game. I thought the issue was more with us both going on the defensive in game two. Silent Observer is not good at closing out a game, but does he still have a point? The second and less fun experience was with a very quiet player who had a game day champion playmat and asked me early in the first game to just stop. I don't think he was having the best day, and the game continued with the usual untap, upkeep, draw, land, cast spell, attack with things turn, and I found this not so fun. I wanted your opinions as more professional than me players. Do you like to just chat over casual games, or is each round played like it's the finals? Thanks.
I guess it depends on who you're playing and where you're playing at, because I tend to be very serious when I play. Like, it's just, like, I got my game face on. Maybe we'll talk in between rounds, but, like, once we're going. And it's not me being mean or shitty. It's just I'm just very focused. Plus, I've been told before that I wear a lot of things on my face.
So, you do.
So when I play Magic, I really try not to, because I don't want to give anything away. And I've actually gotten, I guess, pretty good at it, because I've had a lot of people be like, I didn't even know where you were going with that, or, like, you had me on edge the whole time. So I'm like, yes, it's working. Maybe a future in poker is still there.
Yeah, but poker doesn't have play mats, Chris.
I would have to change that. I'd be like, well, can't I just have, like, a little one? And I just, like, roll it out and be like, hit me. Or wait, or isn't that blackjack? Well, it's one of them. Whichever. It's all cards. But yeah. But, like, okay, here's a bad example. or maybe it's a good example. If I'm playing with Chris Preston, all bets are off. Like, he and I are, like, having jokes. We're yelling at each other. We're swearing at each other. We're just having a good time. If I'm playing, like, Commander with some friends, it's going to be, you know, just silly banter. But it depends on how well I know the person. Maybe we'll make jokes. You know, if it's F&M, I know, like, everybody there. So I'm going to be jokey with them. Serious level events? No. Because I don't really know that person, how they might respond to something I say or do. So you kind of, like, got to feel people out, I think. If you're getting the impression that maybe they're not down with what you're selling, like, maybe just dial it back a little bit. But if they seem like they're into it, then, hey, go for it. But I think it's all about reading people's body language and, you know, their facial expressions, the tone of their voice, and just kind of take it from there. Some people just don't want to be silly, and that's certainly their prerogative. But again, just assess the situation, what level you're playing at, all that good stuff, and just take it from there. At the end of the day, you should be you, but you do want to make the experience, you know, fun for both people.
Yeah, for me, it depends on what event we're at. At F&M, I try and have a good time and goof around with people and have conversations and stuff, but our F&Ms are also not like 70 people in 6 rounds. I mean, I've been to stores where the F&Ms are pretty competitive and there's high stakes, and we have a pretty casual F&M at my store with a lot of players, a lot of new people, and very kind of an equal prize distribution. You know, first isn't, you're not playing for a box or anything. So at F&Ms, I try and keep it pretty casual. But when I get to a PPTQ, usually I say, like, hello, and where are you from, if I haven't met them before, or something like that. But during the game, I hardly talk at all if it's not directly about the game. And it does take up a lot of time. Like, I did try and interact more at a recent PPTQ with somebody, and our first game took, like, 35 minutes, when I think it should have taken 15 minutes if we hadn't been talking. So, I mean, there's just certain things where I'm not a person who's going to talk at a PPTQ, but maybe somebody else is. So I agree with Chris that reading somebody is really important. And I think GPs are the hardest because, like, when I go to a GP, I want to be trying to date too. So I'm going to be having my game face on and not really bantering at all with anybody. But I know a lot of people who come to GPs, it's their first time, or they're there with their kids or their significant other, or they're just having fun, whatever it may be. You get a wide variety at GPs. So I think it's good to be careful at those kind of events because you're going to get a wide mixture of who you're playing against, and everybody's going to have their own style of play.
Yeah, I also interact with people differently based on context and surroundings. I'll definitely goof around with people a lot if we're cubing together or during playtesting or something like that, or even if I'm playing against a good friend at an F&M. But for the most part, if I'm playing in a competitive event, I'm pretty stone-faced. I don't really talk much during my match. I don't really interact with my opponent too much unless it's, you know, necessary, you know, just to be clear about what's going on. I do usually make a point of chatting with my opponents a little bit when we first sit down at a GP, just because I travel a lot and I do like to, you know, hear about, you know, what motivates people to come to GPs, where they came from, just get a little bit of background info on them and, you know, just be welcoming because GPs are such big events. But, you know, based on that, you know, 2-minute interaction, I can usually tell if my opponent wants to continue talking to me or if they'd rather not talk much at all during the match. And, you know, either is fine. I would say to this listener, you know, if you do derive a lot of satisfaction from, you know, having those kinds of conversations with people, you know, that might determine, you know, where you choose to play Magic. You know, if you'd prefer to, you know, play in more casual events, maybe competitive events just aren't for you. And, you know, that's fine. Takes all kinds.
I definitely want to stress the picking up on cues thing because this has become a pet peeve of mine lately, and hopefully I don't sound too negative, but one thing that I tend to run into a lot is people who people who are bad at judging those social cues, particularly after a loss. And, you know, I am not always the best loser. And there are times where I'm processing what has happened. I'm just sort of dealing with what's happened. And you know, kind of like Chris, I tend to wear things on my face. You can usually tell by looking at me that I'm not pleased with something or that I'm unhappy. And I seem to have this knack for finding opponents that after they beat me, you can, you know, I get very quiet. I just kind of sign the slip. I just want to go. And they feel the need to chat me up. Like, I had one guy this past weekend who beat me. And he was like, yeah, you know, my sister's cousin friend played dredge. And I played dredge all the time. So there's really nothing you did. And here's what I would have done if I were you. And what would you? And I was just like, what about me right now says that I want to hear any of this? Like, I'm fuming, I'm seething, I'm trying not to say anything to you, I'm trying not to be mean to you, but I'm very clearly in my feelings, I'm very clearly not taking this well, and if it were me, I would let somebody have that moment, I would let somebody have that minute to deal with what's just happened. I wouldn't feel the need to force conversation on them or try to pick them up again. And I even called Chris at one point because I was really upset, and I had it happen like two or three times where I was like, why can't I have just a minute to, you know, angry is not the right word for it, but just be in my feelings about what has just happened. And I just kept running into people that were like, you know, oh, she's upset, I should talk to her. And it's just like, no, please don't. Like, please, like, just let me walk away and let me eat Doritos and listen to Beyonce in the corner. And it's not you. Like, there's nothing you personally have done, but whatever you're saying, I just, it's like, wah, 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 wah. I'm not hearing it. I don't need to hear it. And so I oftentimes run into people who I feel just aren't very good at those social cues. They look at me, they look at anybody who's upset and think I should be talking right now. And you really shouldn't be. I tend to look for visual cues. So like if somebody, you know, if you're somebody who likes to have banter, and casual banter, like, you know, the examples that Nicola listed were kind of fun and goofy. I would look for people that might have like silly playmats. Like if they're, you know, the guy with the game day playmat, I'm not sure I would have bantered with him necessarily because that might imply that he's a little more serious. But if you had somebody with like a Star City, they have that animal collection, like maybe they had a goofy animal playmat, or maybe they had like the fun Will Smith brainstorm playmat, you know, with Force of Will playmat, you know, that to me might imply that that person's a little more laid back or that they don't take things too seriously. If they are wearing maybe a funny t-shirt, like I saw a guy that had a Rick and Morty shirt and, you know, he seemed to have a really good attitude. And those things might say to me that this person is up for some banter. But if this person is really sharply dressed, like some people like to dress nice for events, and if they have just like a basic black playmat and simple sleeves and, you know, the pre-game banter isn't really there, like if they just politely shake your hand, those to me are all indications that you really shouldn't go there and that they're there just to play at that point. So really the only thing I can stress is just to look for those context clues, look for those visual clues, maybe see how they are even walking up to you. Like if they came from like a group of their friends, and let's say the powwow was, they were all laughing and having a good time, you could maybe piggyback off of those good feelings. But if you see that they came up alone and they were stone-faced coming up to you, that might be an indication that you might not want to try that. So just really keeping your eyes peeled and keeping your ears open, and just, you know, just being open to all those things and trying to make the best decisions from there.
Yeah, and a few PPTQs ago, I lost a win-in for top 8, I think. And my opponent was, I mean, we'd been friendly all game, but I was obviously upset. And he kind of just kept talking, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm just upset right now, and I don't really feel like talking. And he was just like, oh, okay. And I think that sometimes people just don't pick up on those. And so I've just kind of started saying, like, hey, I'm not in the mood. Please shut it down.
Shut it down.
And then I can just pack up and leave. And then later I went up to him and I was like, hey, sorry, I didn't really feel like talking earlier. Like, do you want to go over that game or whatever? What could I have done? And I kind of just made amends, but I don't think I was rude in saying it. And I don't think he took it that way at all. And I think it actually helped both of us because he didn't have to keep talking when he knew I was frustrated. And I didn't have to listen to it. We were both just a lot happier. So that's also a suggestion, you know, for anybody out there who has that same problem.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to take you up on that, because it was just so awkward, and I was just like, ugh. I knew what I was capable of. I was like, I could really let this guy have it, but that's not good for anybody. And so I was just like, how do I get out of this? Like, how do I get out of here? Like, it's almost like being on a bad date, and you need that one friend to, like, text you so you can go. Yeah. Like, they're just talking and talking, and you're looking around, you're like, someone, anyone, get me, judge, recognize me, someone, get me out of here. And, like, you just can't get up, and you can't do it. It's just, ugh, it's like a hell of your own making. So if anybody's enjoyed listening to the show, how can they find you all and how can they get a hold of you?
So I'm Hallie. You can find me on Twitter at HalCanSan. That's H-A-L-C-A-N-S-A-N. If you'd like to read the articles that I wrote at GPLA, you can search for me on Daily MTG and look for the archives of the GPLA coverage. I wrote about half a dozen articles, and I thought they turned out pretty well. So if you'd like to read those, go ahead. And hopefully I'll be putting more stuff up there soon.
And I'm Katie. You can find me on Twitter at Mean Mugger. That's M-E-A-N-M-U-G-G-E-R. Or you can find me at Twitch, twitch.tv/MeanMuggerMTG.
And I'm Chris. My Twitter is at T-E-H-K-R-I-Z. My Gmail is yothkriz@gmail.com. And feel free to keep watching my Twitter feed. I should have something fun and possibly interesting for people coming up soon.
And I'm Erin. You can find me on Twitter at OriginalAstrus. That's O-R-I-G-I-N-A-L-O-E-S-T-R-U-S. You can email me personally at OriginalAstrus@gmail.com. The show is on Twitter at the GF Bracket. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/thegirlfriendbracket. You can watch us every Thursday night doing the Community Super League at twitch.tv/magic. And you can find us every Friday at gatheringmagic.com. Thank you all so much for listening and being patient with us while we take this time off, and we will talk to you all later. Bye-bye.